Dubai Eye
103.8. Live down here at the World Future Energy Summit, we are asking you to share your thoughts with us, be it online by text message 4001, or of course, you can use the handles and the hashtags at Dubai Eye 103.8 FM, hashtag Dubai Eye 103.8. Do send us your thoughts and opinions. Let's talk clean transport now, if we can. You will know that Dubai government is just one of the federal governments, one of the Emirates governments that have made large pledges towards all things electric vehicles. At least 10% of vehicles purchased must be EV or hybrid from 2016 to 2020. By 2030, 10% of government cars are going to be hybrid. In fact, in the UAE, there is plenty of move towards clean transport. Now, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Is this something that is going to be very challenging in a world and a part of the world that is very dependent on the car and the automobile? We've put this question to a motoring journalist and expert based here in the UAE, Damien Reid.
20 is going to be the year of the EV, maybe not so much in sales, but certainly in terms of awareness. Everyone knows EVs and they're aware of the benefits of electrification. The reason why I say not so much in sales is the cost factor. They're an expensive car by comparison to the regular car. Having said that, at the lower end of the scale, there is the Renault Zoe that's a full electrified car. But then there's also the cars like the Audi e-tron that's going to come out later on today. It's an A4 size vehicle, or rather later this year, I should say. It's an Audi A4 size vehicle, and it's a luxury car, and so the expenses are still going to be absorbed through the more expensive luxury cars. But definitely EVs are on their way in, and with some government assistance, hopefully, and a few subsidies, we should see a lot more of them on the roads during the course of 2020.
Two experts with us to discuss this further. Two individuals who, along with their teams, are helping to push the mantra of clean transport, and not just here in the region, but the world over at the moment. Absolute pleasure to be joined by the Director of Sustainability for UPS, Mr. Peter Harris, is with us. Peter, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks also to Ben Pullen. Now, Ben is the co-founder and the CEO of Generation.E, who organised the EVRT, amongst other things. For those, Ben, that welcome, first and foremost.
Thanks for being Tom. Great to be with you.
Talk to us about Generation.E. What do you do?
So Generation.E, we've got the mission to inspire transformation to smarter mobility, and we've been doing that for the last 4 years here in Dubai with the EVRT events. Damien Reid has actually joined us, shared a car with him, Supercar Blondie and Nick Cars, Chevrolet Bolt driving down the highway. That was a great experience with them. And you know, the road trip is about raising awareness around electric vehicles. The other event that we run is a summit, the Smarter Mobility World, that we run in Africa and here in Dubai. And that's looking at all things mobility. And I'm happy that we've got Peter here, you know, because UPS is all about smart mobility, not just electric vehicles, but anything from micro mobility, sharing, connected technology. It's an exciting time for mobility.
Exciting time for mobility, and I suppose a challenging time for logistics, Peter, as well, because an industry that has traditionally has been charged from getting something from A to B as quickly as possible and as efficiently as possible, is the challenges of clean delivery or clean transport proving a hurdle at the moment, or is it something that you can embrace?
Well, it's a challenge for sure, but it's absolutely something that we embrace. So you're quite right. We're a global logistics company. We move things around the world. That's what we do. In terms of doing that more sustainably, it's all about innovation, as Ben has already mentioned. We need to be rigorously focused on being efficient. That's the first part of the puzzle. Yeah. Finding ways of doing more with less conventional fuel, and that's all about big data solutions, using supercomputers for route planning, that type of thing. And then beyond that, it's all about how do we do things completely differently, alternative fuels, alternative technologies. EVs are a big piece of that, but they're not the only solution. Globally now, we have a 120,000 vehicle ground fleet across the world. Over 10,000 of those now operate on some form of alternative technology or alternative fuel. So it's a really exciting space. It's moving very quickly. And just delighted to be here today to talk about it.
Yeah, and we are going to talk about it at length. One thing I just wanted to sort of discuss with you, and we're here in Abu Dhabi. I've just driven down from Dubai. You guys have come in from different parts of the world as well, where a lot of the sort of urban centres are growing up and out at the moment, becoming a lot more congested as well, which is putting a challenge on the traditional automobile. When we talk clean energy and clean transport. I mean, are we almost thinking about going back to pedal power as well at the moment, rather than we keep thinking forward in innovation? Do we need to take a step back as well?
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because if we look at some of our urban solutions within our alternative technology fleet, cycles are indeed a part of the future as well as a part of our past. Yeah. We started as a cycle logistics company over 100 years ago. And now we're finding that the cycle is starting to play a part in our new world. It's a new technology solution. They're electrically assisted typically now, so they're able to carry more cargo than they ever could in the past. But it's a very exciting space. In fact, we're working with a number of partners around some brand new solutions in that space, developing four-wheeled solutions, for example, that can be particularly productive and more city-friendly. And we're going to be actually experimenting with some of those designs at the forthcoming expo. So some big things coming up.
It's interesting, isn't it, Ben, how we, you know, the sort of history of the automotive industry, and we got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then we went smaller and smaller and smaller, and now we're going, oh, hang on, what about the bicycle? What about the scooter? What about, you know, the Segway and things like that? It's almost sort of tracking back to things that we've done in the past.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you look at somewhere like LA, LA has gone through the full cycle of when it first launched as a place to be. It was very much focused on public transport and getting around the city. Then they obviously had the mass adoption of the automobile, and they became a city that you just didn't want to be in because of the smog and the congestion. But now they're going back to basics, as you mentioned, with, you know, trying to cycle, micromobility, integrated public transport. Here in the UAE it's slightly different because it was built in the era of the car. So it was about, okay, you know, we're going to build a place there and a place there, and let's connect it with a big highway. And it's worked really well. But now we're getting to a point where, you know, the place is getting more congested because more and more people live here. And there's a need to go back to basics. And we're seeing some of those solutions come to the fore. And, you know, Kareem just in the last few weeks started to install their new bike sharing schemes.
From the Abu Dhabi National Exhibition Centre,
this is The Agenda.
Live at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, accelerating sustainable development.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live from the floor down here in Abu Dhabi at this year's World Future Energy Summit, the doors have been flung open and thousands are making their way down here for the course of the show over the next 4 days. I've got two of those individuals alongside me at the moment. We've got the co-founder and the CEO of Generation E, Ben Pullins, with us. Alongside he is the Director of Sustainability for UPS, Mr. Peter Harris. Again, gentlemen, thanks very much indeed for being with us. Ben, I want to go to you because big focus for you and Generation E and all that you do with regards to clean transport and electric vehicles at the moment in Africa. Now, why is that such an important place for you? And why do you think that's such a right market for this technology?
So, in somewhere like South Africa, it's a big car country anyway. Yeah. Big population, they love their cars. In a way, it's designed similar to Dubai, with big open roads, different communities. So there's a need to transition from petrol vehicles to electric vehicles, to reduce carbon emissions. They've set some targets like all countries have, but also to improve air quality and air pollution. You know, we're understanding it more now as a civilization. There's more data available, it's more readily available to normal people like you and I to see what's going on. So cleaning up the air quality is key. But also many countries now are becoming first time car owner countries, you know. Maybe because they're starting to get a higher income, or because car companies now are deciding to move into those countries. So we believe there's a need to raise awareness now around electric vehicles and the benefits, whether that's to government, business, but also to consumers. And there's been good interest there for these types of vehicles.
So can I talk to you about challenges very quickly before I move it on to Peter? Because we talk about the challenges of putting in a network to charge electric vehicles here in Dubai. And a lot of people would say, look, it's one of the most modern cities in the world. Surely the infrastructure's there. When I start thinking about sort of the outer limits of Cape Town or other parts of South Africa, surely that would be more of a challenge, or is that not the case?
You're absolutely right. It was a challenge even for the EVRT Africa, the charging, because power supply is not reliable there. Yeah. In some cases, it drops out. So there's a challenge as it stands to power the electric vehicle. But at the same time, there's an opportunity with technologies like vehicle to grid that have, you know, just around the corner to be commercialized. which means you can charge your car with the grid, but at the same time, when the grid or your home needs electricity, it can pull it back from the battery. So there's an opportunity where electric vehicles can actually help access to power in Africa, whether that's in a rural village or, you know, big city like Johannesburg.
I suppose that's part of the challenge that you, Peter, and the rest of the team at UPS face in a ever expanding world, as it were. One's assuming that one can get in a parcel from pretty much anywhere to anywhere nowadays, which is great because UPS, I'm sure, can solve that problem. But at the back of your mind has got to be sustainability, 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 that carbon footprint, and therefore, how do you find that balance?
No, you're right. That's an interesting challenge, and Ben points out that a key piece of that challenge is around power supply. So for us, there's a kind of a twin challenge associated with electric vehicles. There's a challenge in terms of sourcing the right vehicles in the first place, but even when you have the vehicles, then you've got to get the power to them to be able to recharge them. And in our case, the nature of our operation is that our vehicles, they're fleet vehicles, and they come back to base. They have to be recharged overnight at our locations. And that places a big demand on the energy supply into particular buildings. And the buildings that logistics organizations like us use across the world were, in many cases, built before electric vehicles were on the agenda. So they weren't built with EVs in mind, and therefore the power supplies weren't built with EVs in mind. So it's another area where we need innovation. And a good example is that in London, for example, we found that when we had just 10 EVs in our fleet in London, going back about 8 years ago now, when we plugged in the 11th, all the lights went out. So we then had to start to experiment with what are the solutions to these challenges. And initially, we solved it the conventional way of actually buying an upgrade from the power grid company, which was possible, but it's very expensive and it's very inflexible. So when we reached the new limit that the upgrade had gotten us to, we figured that there had to be a better way of solving the problem. And we formed a partnership with some other organizations, the local network operator, and also a public-private partnership, Cross River Partners. And we got some government support, and we developed a smart technology solution similar to the one that Ben was talking about. It's a smart grid, and it makes better use of the available power supply. And that's actually trebled the number of vehicles that we can recharge in that building overnight without the need for any further conventional upstream upgrades. So it's this type of innovation that's going to be needed now across the world to solve these problems so that we can scale electric vehicles. Because the key here is going from experiment to scale. We've got to get big numbers of these things out there on the road very quickly to confront the challenges that we face.
So is that not another challenge, Ben, in the sense that, normal Joe like me looks and says, we just want to see more electric vehicles on the road without thinking about, hang on, what's going to power them and where's that power source coming from and what's the surge onto the mainframe as well. With this sort of move towards innovation, which everyone's clamoring for at the moment, does there need to be strict regulation at the same time?
Well, in a place like Abu Dhabi in the UAE, you know, we're fortunate that there is abundance of power supply because they've built a very good grid and good power supply, and there's an increasing amount of renewable energy. And I was happy, you know, even in the UK, they hit 25% renewable energy mix last year. Can you believe that? 25% of the UK's power came from renewable energy. And, similar numbers are growing here. They have a target for 50% of the energy mix to be clean by 2050. So power supply is here, whereas if you look at some African countries, it's a real challenge. Obviously, what needs to be focused here is the regulation to encourage, you know, new buildings to have charging stations or the right kind of power, car parks to make sure they've already wired it with ready-to-go power points. Otherwise, it does cost money.
From the Abu Dhabi National Exhibition Centre,
this is The Agenda.
Live at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, accelerating sustainable development.
On Dubai I 103.8.
Live from ADSW and live on the floor down here at the Abu Dhabi International Convention Centre. We have two very special guests, Peter Harris, Ben Pullen, still with us here. They've been kind enough to join us for something of a panel discussion on all things clean transport, one that's gone a little further afield and have prompted a number of questions coming through from listeners. Zines, what are people asking?
Rauya's got a point. Guys, what about batteries? Aren't these a sustainability question mark? Peter, you're happy to answer that first.
Yeah, there is a challenge associated with batteries in terms of, for example, what do we do with them at the end of their life? And without doubt, there is some work to be done on the recyclability of batteries. But what's interesting is that we're finding other ways of extending the life of batteries. So for example, what we're experimenting with now is how about taking the batteries that have served a useful life in our EVs that do urban collection and delivery work, and then repurposing them once they're no longer good enough to be in those EVs as in-facility energy storage batteries that can then support the kinds of smart grid technologies we were talking about to help solve that energy supply problem into our buildings. So I think it's that kind of innovation that we're going to need, because that will then effectively double the life of the battery and give us longer to figure out some of these solutions around recycling that are certainly going to be needed. So I don't want to minimize the scale of the problem around batteries, but I think there are other things that we can do to be innovative to help give us more time to get that problem properly solved.
And yeah, when we were doing the EVRT Africa, we had a partnership with Nissan, and they took some of their second life batteries and they actually used them to power a cinema for a live screening of a film that we watched in Cape Town. So the cinema screening, outdoor cinema, was powered by these second life batteries.
Can I ask both of you about a subject that always crops up whenever we're discussing, in fact, doesn't matter what we're discussing, price always crops up as a part and parcel of the conversation. And the cost of living, of going more clean when it comes to transport, of living a greener life, living a more sustainable life, is one that concerns a lot of people out there, be it from a logistics point of view, getting something from A to B and the cost they're incurred, or of course from adopting electric vehicle culture and lifestyle. Are we getting, I mean, Damien Reid mentioned the top of the, I know a man you know well, saying 2020, the year of the electric vehicle. Are we going to see a reduction in the costs of adopting that lifestyle?
We are, and we're going to see it here in the UAE, which is great news. So there are some vehicles that are launching in Q1 this year that are coming underneath the 100,000 dirham sticker price, which is great to see. Some of those will be launching during the EVRT Dubai, so watch this space. And I think, you know, the challenge with electric vehicles is people often look at the sticker price. So they'll compare, let's say, a Volkswagen Golf GTI and a Chevrolet Bolt, and they'll see the Chevrolet Bolt in the showroom is more expensive. But what we must look at, and this is, you know, it's a different type of perspective for an end user, is you've got to look at the total cost of ownership. So each month, what are you paying for a petrol car versus the electric car? And over 5 years, does that make sense for you? And that's where your buying decision should come in.
And this, I suppose, just to turn this question towards you, Peter, is that a lot of people will look at the sort of global logistics of getting a parcel from A to B, or getting anything from A to B, be ourselves, etc. A lot going on out there at the moment of people being shamed for the use of aeroplanes, for use of jets, etc. Sustainability is obviously key, but is it sustainability with reason at the moment as innovation comes into place?
Yeah, well, that's quite right, Tom. You're right about the scale. I mean, 3% of the world's GDP flows through our network, so it's a massive operation, and that gives us some responsibilities that we take very seriously in terms of our responsibility towards the environment. And it is a challenge, but innovation is delivering solutions. You know, Ben makes the good point about with EVs the focus needing to be on the life cost and not just on the upfront cost. And when you do look at the life cost, an electric vehicle, whether it's a car or indeed a truck in our case, is already very competitive. And the cost is continuing to drop as we innovate in the space. So for example, the innovations that we talked about around smart grids and energy storage, that's bringing down the cost of getting the power to the EV, as well as the cost of the vehicles dropping as battery prices come down. So the trajectory is good. It's all going in the right direction. We're moving closer to a world which I think we'll see in the not too distant future, where not only from a life cost perspective, but also from a capital cost perspective, EVs will be comparable to their petrol and diesel equivalents.
Peter, really good to have you. You boys have set the bar very high for our first panel discussion of the week. We're here throughout the entire week. I'm sure you are as well. You're looking forward to it, Peter?
Absolutely. This is a terrific place to be. This is a real global melting pot in terms of bringing together all the world's participants that are interested in this space. Absolutely fascinated on what's going to happen here over the next few days.
Well, absolutely wonderful to have the International Director of Sustainability from UPS, Mr. Peter Harris, with us here in Abu Dhabi, as it is Ben Pullen as well, co-founder and CEO of Generation E, the brains behind the EVRT, EVR 2020, gearing up for that?
We've got the EVRT Dubai 2020 in March this year.
So where can people find out details about that?
So if you go to EVRT Dubai on Instagram or Facebook, and then the website is generationehq.com.
Good on you, Ben. Enjoy the next couple of days. Enjoy your time down here at ADSW, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.